Linda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 21st of September. I am joined in the studio today by our security expert, I love that, our security expert, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, thanks for coming back. Hello, hello, hello. And our guest in the studio today is new. That's your new name. Can you give that? Neil Shorthouse, who is a managing director of Shorthouse Hospitality.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming to say new. I'm just calling that all for the show today. The show sponsors for this week, a big thank you to Orchard Employment Law for sponsoring the Business Bunker for the month of September. Any need for HR employment law services, go and visit them. They'll help you out. We are this month teaming up with Kickstart Social, which is a new social media and digital marketing event coming up in November. So we're going to team up with them, and you're going to find out more about this fantastic event that's coming up in November. So don't miss out on that. We have got quite a lot of tweets today, which is great, but we still want to hear from you, the listeners. So give us a tweet on at Bunker Extra, and that's extra with an X, there's no E, and then hashtag us, be extra, be bunker. Let us know what you're up to, how's your week been, have you had a good week, and you know what, have you had a bad week? You know, I've decided I'm going to start a new trend, Fess Up Friday. Because you know what it's like on social media, we all love social media and we all use social media, but we're always going on all the good stuff, which is great. We always want to be positive, we want to hear it out there, but don't you sometimes think, God, am I the only one that's had a shit week?
Yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could share, you know what, like, I've had a great week, or this happened, but this really paid me off, or this happened. Because then we would all go, well, at least it's not just me.
A bit like confessions.
It is. Fess up. What happened to you this week which really annoyed you or you didn't like or whatever? I'm going to start a trend.
You haven't got long enough for me.
No, okay. Well, we'll do it online on social media. We won't do it in the show. Fess up Friday. But do know, give us a tweet and let us know what you've been up to. If you want to, you can phone us in the studio. We've had a few phone calls in the past and it does work. So if you want to give us a shout out, if you want to fess up on live on air, do. Or if you want to let us know about an event that you've got coming up, give us a call on 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035, and you can of course always contact us via email bunkerextra@gmail.com and let us know what's going on. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the lovely Gemma Fairclough Haynes, owner of Orchard Employment Law, and our guest was Ben Abbott, who is the owner of Maximum Media. Now, Ben was really, it was lovely meeting Ben and getting to know about his business journey. Now, he had a really short business journey, Neil, because he's in his 20s. I probably wrong that he might be in his early 30s, but I think he's in his 20s. Now, he's quite young. He had a couple of jobs out of school, but he always knew he wanted to do his own thing. He's one of these, like, determined, I'm going to do my own thing. So he started up Maximum Media this year, and they work with helping with digital media, social media, but a lot of it is very video-based. So they produce videos for people to use for their content, and he does a podcast, a regular podcast, which is getting very, very popular now to hear people's business stories or what's going on in the business world. So that was a brilliant show. If you want to find out, if you missed it, you want to hear about young Ben, we're going to call him young Ben, then you can go to bizradio.co.uk website, click on the extra tab, and all the previous shows are there. So have a little listen if you've missed any. It was a great show. It was really nice having his perspective on the world of work and business and everything. And in fact, if you want to meet Ben, he's going to be at the Networkers Networking next week and we're going to hear from him. So he's trained as a Dale Carnegie instructor, a trainer. And for those people who don't know Dale Carnegie, why not? Where have you been? But it's a method. Dale Carnegie was a guy who came up with the whole mindset and how you speak to people and how you speak and everything for dealing with people. So it's very good. It's very good. Power of persuasion and all that type in your voice.
We have to get hashtag young Ben trending.
Yeah, I like that. Hashtag come and meet me. Hashtag young Ben. We've had some shout outs on Twitter today, which is really nice. We've had, I have to do this one first because it keeps making me laugh. One from Kate Athelbrey. It's a hello, Amanda from All Here. Can we book a shout out for tomorrow's show? She's super early. She booked it yesterday. She's got a great GIF there going on. I love love the old gift on Twitter, and it's like, oh, this is brilliant. They have got a marketing course with the fantastic Milan Focus on the 10th of the 10th, so 10th of October at Chilston Park. Oh, gorgeous venue. I love it there. She is going to be doing marketing, and the old Denise as opposed to the young Ben. Shoot me. But she knows a lot about marketing, so it's really good to help you with your business, with your if you want to improve your marketing. So if you follow at Athelbrae, Athelbrae Limited, LTD on the Twitter, or give Kate a email, kate@athelbrae.co.uk, and find out more about that course, because that's going to be really great to go to for sure. What other shout outs have we had, Richard? You'll find them now, haven't you? They put you on the spot.
Gemma said hello. Our guest Neil is still looking forward to
he's looking forward to being on air.
We're looking forward to hearing from him. And I've done a bit of tweeting. Milan
Focus. That's Denise. Oh, and Andrea Barker, ABC Coach on the Twitter. Have a great show. I'd love a shout out, please, for as a confidence coach, I can help you feel more confident in business. To deliver speeches or pitches, help you with confident staff and how to have effective conversations and to work on being a happier you. Andrea's a fantastic confidence coach. So is anybody who... within your business, obviously, you have to be quite strong, don't you? And you have to speak about your business and you have to stand up. Or if you're just in the world of work and you just don't feel very confident with the way that you are, she has some great methods and she helps work people through their confidence. And she works wonders. And even things she told me once about a client that she had who was very unconfident being in crowded areas with a lot of people, even its family parties and that type of thing. And after a couple of meetings with Andrea, there was a family party, and he said he was so happy because he'd walked in, he had a great time, he relaxed, he didn't, you know, have all that sitting in the car for half an hour before going in. So she does know her stuff. So do follow Andrea on the Twitter, Andrea BC Coach. And she can help you with your confidence issues. I don't have many confident issues, to be fair.
I normally find a gin helps before I start.
Gin, so, yeah, Jim. I'm a rum girl.
I'll tell you about an event I was at yesterday, Nathan.
Was there a lot of gin and rum there then?
There wasn't, but there was a hell of a lot of alcohol.
we like your type of events.
Yes, yeah. We do.
And then for me, this just shuts down Friday. Tracy, who I was on the show with a couple of weeks ago, last month.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see a tweet that's got Jamaica and Sittingbourne in the same.
I know.
True, yeah.
So enjoy Jamaica, and I'm not jealous at all, Tracy.
Yes, and you've got lots going on. You've got lots of collaboration planning going on, projects. And yes, we don't hate you, really, if she's off to Jamaica. You're so lucky. Around the world she goes. But there's look what's going on. There's so much going on there. So do keep on tweeting in and letting us know, you know, your good points, your bad points, what's happened this week. And there's loads going on out there in the old security world, isn't there, Richard?
There is.
What's new? Update us. Scare the hell out of us. We like it when you do that.
Well, what's not new? I think what people are becoming increasingly aware of is, and we touched upon it on other shows, is large retailers and major brands are now regularly sort of fessing up on a Friday that they've suffered a data breach or a security incident of such. More recently in the press was about British Airways, and we sort of touched a little bit on that. But I just pulled off a quick list of sort of strong brands, not necessarily UK brands, but brands nonetheless that everyone would know about. And you're talking about Macy's, Sears, Adidas, MyFitnessPal, which is an Under Armour app that goes onto phones. That had 150 million people were affected by their data breach.
So good gosh.
If you do have that app and you haven't had it...
Yeah, by the way.
you've not really been walking that many miles. Please change your password. British Airways, Ticketfly, which is a subsidiary of Eventbrite, which I know... a lot of our listeners use for some of their events.
Yeah, stuff. Definitely.
It's quite an old one. But Reddit, which is obviously a social media platform. Interestingly, they've passed no comment as to the extent of the breach.
Do they have to? Are they legally required to.
In America, it's probably slightly different. Mm. They may well have reported it to the authorities, but and one of the things, and brings me back to the event that I was at yesterday, I was talking to a group of people, is that's all well and good, and that's the stuff that you have to do. But a thing that sometimes people forget is communicating with your clients and your customers, because you know you need to continue that brand, you need to continue that trust. And I likened the example of pulling out two major sort of incidents that have happened in the recent future of cybersecurity, and that was one of TalkTalk, and everyone beats them up and uses them in the cyber world as the what bad looks like. But I thank them for all of their efforts in that really drove a lot of activity that's happening in the cyberspace now, and what good looks like around engaging with the media. So TalkTalk, just to remind listeners, yes, they suffered attack, but the laughing stock of that part of it, and there's been a complete change of culture, was that they put somebody in front of the camera saying one thing on a Monday, and that changed complete daily until Friday. And it's really important that you know, one, from a legislation point of view, what the loss is, but equally, you don't want to keep changing that message over time to your customers.
Mm.
Whereas BA, quite quickly and very professionally, got the right person in front of the cameras and gave the full extent of what the breach was and reassured customers straight away that they would be recompensed, and you know there'd be no risk, and gave them some instructions what to do. So the two really sort of in contrast is where the journey of cybersecurity and breaches have got to in sort of 2018. But the interesting thing, as I said about the event and alcohol, was and I know that you do many different events, Amanda.
It's alcohol, though. Don't worry. Alcohol. But this can't have an event without alcohol. Come on.
This was for a recruitment company, and I was guest speaker. I was invited to come along. They do some incredible stuff about trying to get women and young women into technology and all that type of stuff. So it's certainly a great company. But it was just a really informal gathering. And, you know, we talk about people giving the right message at the right time. Unfortunately, you know, the topic that we were talking about was instant response. And, you know, my set went down really quite well. Everyone's drinking during it. I'm drinking
during it?
during the I have to provide some context, and I'll do that off air.
Okay. we'll put that on the video.
It all becomes quite light-hearted. But the message, I feel, because of that environment and because of that, the way that we approached it, was more meaningful than really sort of coming off of the sort of PowerPoint and listing activities. That's not a reflection on the company that did it, because they were very good, but it's just the two reflections on how things happen. And that for me, is how cybersecurity is coming on at the moment. The media and everybody sort of weaponized the word, a bit like, you know, weapons of mass destruction. We all went to war based on that sort of thing.
Mm.
And there's a danger around this cybersecurity stuff that keeps getting lost in translation. So my role, both to our clients, to our listeners, and to anybody I speak to, is make it relevant. And all of these big brands, Ticketmaster, Dixon's Car Phone Warehouse, MyHeritage, which is like French Reunited, where you look at...
They've
all suffered millions and millions of people's data has been affected. And it's trying to use that information, firstly, look after yourself at home, and then what, you know, all of those sort of how to prevent and how to do right extend to small businnesses. So we're still having those conversations, but it's been an interesting time.
Interesting. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? And that's the reason why we're having the security spot once a month on the show, because we just want to remind people, because it's so easy to go, oh, it won't happen to me. Why would it happen to me? Why would they want my data?
And equally, we're getting so many different incidents and reportable events in the media that, you know, we're almost at the sense of complacency anyway.
It's like, just another one, but it's like another one.
Oh yeah, it's not too much of a BA have told me that it's fine, so I've replaced my credit card that was associated with it. That's all good. You sort of, it's now sort of built into our psyche around our own response.
Yeah,
but there's still some really simple steps that we need to do, and we've got some blogs that cover that, but it literally is around change of passwords and use of data and all that type of stuff.
Is it something that you can put preventable measures in place?
You can mitigate the risk to an amount, but everyone will always be affected at some time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, these bad guys are out there. So if they want you, if they want it, they're going to get it, and they're just going to keep on coming up all the ways that come up to prevent it. They're going to come up with ways to smash it.
And we can reduce it.
Yes, you may speak to me.
Don't put your hand up.
Nobody can see you on air.
I'm learning.
That's cool. Yes, feel free. Speak away.
Just from a hospitality perspective, you know, you go into hotels and you can log into the Wi-Fi that's in the hotel. How secure is that for, you know, guests going in and businesses going in to use that Wi-Fi network in the room, or, you know, within a lobby that you find everyone doing, you know, if you go to London?
On a scale of 1 to 10 for that free Wi-Fi that they offer, and usually in foyers, it's probably -100. So it's not
secure at all.
And I would always, guard against that, you know, the Wi-Fi that's associated with your room. Because there is they don't list out where their data's going, what that looks like. There's no assurance process in there. There's a simple thing that you could do. You could put it as an app on your phone, or you can buy it as a product, which just gives you added protection, which basically masks all your data via VPN and stuff like that. I mean, quite technical, but the easy answer is no, don't trust.
Okay. So not even if they've got like a hotel specific, you have to log into.
Well, we don't know what that. I mean, I know, Neil, you're going to be all over the world, so and we've touched upon, you know, some of the vanquished nations that, you know, we wouldn't inherently trust.
Yeah.
It's a difficult decision to make.
And so then, what's the difference to that to then using your data to connect online? So, you know, your data through your phone line.
Well, firstly, you've got added assurance that they've already done a lot of that work.
Right.
That's their business. You know,
yeah.
They need to protect that data. Otherwise, it becomes a data breach and that's reportable, and then they get big fines. I would always use my phone as best as possible. But then it gets to, you know, it depends on how the granular level of detail that you'd want to go to. If you're working in certain countries, I would use a burner phone. You know,
even use your own phone.
I would never use my phone. If my job there is about being contacted, then I have a phone, and I'd probably dig out the old Nokia brick type so people could contact me. So there's different ways you can do it, but, you know, that all becomes part of the travel security package, and you need to factor all of that stuff in.
So I'm going to America in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't really just even use any data on my phone or anything while I'm out there.
Well, one, it's really expensive. I got caught in New York once thinking, oh, I'm going to post that picture, that picture, and came back and nearly died. Do your research. Do your research. See what areas, different states have different legislative access to data. They are part of what they call the Privacy Shield, which is, in essence, the Europeans' version is GDPR. And, you know, the Saudis have got a version of it. It's as safe as...
Safe as anything. So, obviously, I probably won't... Well... I was going to say, I probably won't be too bad, but, you know, I don't post that much on social media, really.
Just be all the free Wi-Fi hotspots that you try and pick
up. That's the thing, isn't it? Now you've just put me off using free Wi-Fi spots, but, you know, Paul will not live for an entire week without going on his phone about 10 times a day. So he's out there and he uses, like, the open Wi-Fi or even back at the hotel, the Wi-Fi.
Let me just clarify. I mean, I'm risk-averse in that space anyway.
Yeah.
But... that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, you don't get any list of, you know, we do this with your data. Everyone just clicks. No one reads. They just click and access because they want access. Those sites, that access points could be very genuine and, you know, absolutely safe. But because there's no protection between that communication and that space, that's when you get the sort of hackers start to sort of sniff and gather your data between point A and point B. So your phone is point A, point B is the hotel's Wi-Fi or the Disney Parks Wi-Fi or whichever way it's looking. But who's in between that, just grabbing all of that data? So if you are going to use social media, not so much of a problem if you haven't got too much personal data associated. If you're going to start making bank transactions, not looking at, you know, using secure apps and secure.
Excuse me, listeners. I'm going to America next week. next month, I want to be secure. But just to understand what it is that they can grab, can they access your device and grab your data from your device, or are they just grabbing data in transit? So if
different ways.
There's different ways, so they can access your device.
Yeah, I mean, these are targeted people that are looking for, you know, those type of opportunities. You know, the world's got billions of people, so, you know, you'd have to be quite unlucky. But, you know, if you go to certain places in New York,
I'm going to Florida, it's all right.
Which is quite a sort of lifestyle area, and we touched upon, you know, sort of Central Park Central Station and all those type of things. That sort of area where it's quite Apple-esque and everyone's sort of jogging and all of that type of thing. That's where people are going to go. The bad guys are going to go into that area to try and get that that type of information. But a lot of it is still just behind the screen. They'll just try and access points. And you know, for me, I need to know that there's security to it.
Yeah.
Unless I've got some level of assurance.
But also, to be fair, that's because that's your mindset, isn't it? And you're very, like, over aware of anything, everything that can happen. So you make sure.
Trying to find a balance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anyone to, you know, live in my shoes, because then that would just be a very dull place. but you have to make decisions. And that's the thing, is just thinking about it helps, because then you're thinking twice.
Yeah, so it's almost like don't just, you know, if we're out for dinner in a diner, don't log on to the free Wi-Fi there. But we're in a hotel where we're staying for the week. Maybe that'll be a little bit more.
I think so.
Safer. And you say just social media, sort of surfing, tweeting, etc. Not so bad, but not making any.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of more sort of technical mechanics that hide behind that. It's just trying to think. And it goes right down to personal security. I mean, I was walking along Fifth Avenue or something in New York, it's one of my favourite places in the world. So you're taking pictures, and I'm trying to post, and I'm trying to do that. And all of whilst that's going on, I'm walking around with this £800 phone in my hand. And that's not just because of New York, that's anywhere. So there are other sort of security implications.
Yeah, it's just awareness, isn't it? It's just being awareness.
Does that tweet need to be sent at that Disney park?
Yes,
and it waits for the hotel. Just that thought process.
Oh, I don't know. If Paul be like, I'm not going. If I can't tweet, I'm not going. Can you imagine though? The whole of Twitter would shut down if Paul wasn't tweeting on the time. They'd be like, what's going wrong? They'd be contacting him going, what's wrong? Why are you not tweeting? What's happening? But no, it's good, because it's good to put that personal view and perspective on it as well, isn't it? To sort of like, oh God, how does that relate to me? So it was a really good question, Neil. Really good for bringing that up. so we've suitably scared the hell out of you today, for making sure you are safe and secure out there. It's good to know. Gemma has said good advice. She uses Freedom VPN to help protect my data.
Yeah.
Would you recommend?
I use Freedom as well. It's quite good. She's probably an Apple user. There are other.
No, she's not actually. She's got a Samsung.
Okay,
she's Android.
I don't know. That's quite easy to sort of build into your apps within the phone, and you just switch it on. You'll see it. There's an area within your settings or privacy. You just switch it on, and all that does is just mask. Doesn't stop you doing anything.
Oh, so that's quite good to have. If you just got that app on your phone, and
so
then at least you.
I mean, there are other well-known providers, I'm sure. No, I agree, Gemma. I use Freedom as well.
Cool. Good. Thank you, Gemma. I'm going to put that on my phone straight away. And we've had a tweet from Spice Basher PM, Bjorn_Haynes. Hi, Amanda Bianca. Be extra. See, this is the trouble when I go on the air, Neil. My mouth stops working and I just can't talk. Could I please have a shout out for Spice Masher Process Management, here to help your business with operational efficiency, from preemptive planning to operations manuals. Thank you.
5 P's.
Bjorn, could you make it any more complicated for me to read? I had to slow down there to make sure I didn't fall over it. But do listen back to the show with Bjorn, which was a couple of weeks ago. because he's got some great advice, and we hear all about his business. And also do give him a follow on Twitter at Bjorn, which is BJORN_Haynes, HAYNES. Fantastic. We are going to have a quick break now, a little bit of a musical interlude, and then when we come back, we're going to hear, see, we've touched on the fact that Neil travels a lot, so we're going to find out so much more about that and his whole history of the hospitality industry that he's worked in for, you know, a few years, a couple of years, you know, 2 or 3, was it?
20 something.
Yeah. No, you're not old enough. You're definitely not old enough for that.
and I'll say goodbye now because he's already said that I'm not going to be able to speak.
I'm not that bad.
We'll be back after this.
Simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, 8 of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back, You are still listening to the Business Bunk Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 21st of September. The weeks are flying by. We must be in about 12 weeks till Christmas now, I'm
13.
Sure. Thank you.
Another radio station this morning.
It's good because the other week I said there was only 11 and I was like, no, there's still 15.
Panic mode,
I know. Oh my God. Yes, and I am joined in the studio today by my co-host, our security expert, Richard Bell from Ten Intelligence. And Richard has just been scaring the hell out of me. I'm not going on holiday, but I can't go on social media. But he's been giving us some great advice on keeping ourselves secure and just being aware, which is great.
And thanks to Gemma for the GIF. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. No, not a Samsung user.
That's for another discussion. Systems are a different discussion.
Yeah, definitely. And our guest in the studio today is Neil Shorthouse, who is the managing director of Shorthouse Hospitality. So, Shorthouse Hospitality, hospitality industry.
Yes.
I know it's quite funny because often people don't think about the different industries and the titles, and even. Sort of starting up my events business and being in events now for a few years, it's only really just struck me now what is meant by hospitality. And obviously it's the hotel industry, the cruise line, and anything that deals with customers and guests that are in hospitality, basically, and staying and everything. So you've been in hospitality for 20 years. Yes. So how did you get started? Where was the starting point and why?
Okay, I'll
can you shorten it down to like 2 seconds?
I did college, did university, studied hotel management, did the university placement overseas, went to work for a hotel company in a management program something years ago, and they said you had to do food and beverage to be a general manager. And I knew then that I didn't want to be a general manager, but I'd had enough of peeling potatoes and carrots. And fortunately, I had worked at Disney in Florida. I can send my old boss a message for you next week.
Please no do. Problem. Connect us up.
Yeah, connect you. No problem with the boss.
I want his really secured Wi-Fi.
And so at that point, I almost changed my career because after 5 years, I was being told that I can't do what I want. And the company that I'd worked for in my placement was Disney, and they were starting a cruise line. So I interviewed for a job with Disney Cruise Line, and that's where, in essence, my career started with the cruise industry, albeit very different to hospitality. And from there, I've worked in cruise resorts, hotels, globally, locally also in the UK and internationally, and focused mainly on operations and human resources. So that's a really...
Okay, that's just too short. I know I said keep it short. But it was always something you wanted to do, so you wanted to go into the whole hotel industry, the hospitality industry.
I started, for those of you that know Rochester, I started at the old Crest Hotel, which is now a Holiday Inn.
I was going to say, is it still there?
it's still there, and it was Trust House 40. Oh. So that's where I started at school collecting glasses on the weekend, and then during college, and I would go back and do part-time work. And at that point, it was, I enjoyed it. It's something that I knew that I wanted to do, you know, working with people, having fun, enjoying myself. And it's hard work. It's not a social industry. It's an industry that you do work on social hours. Back then, the Sunday wasn't too bad because it could only open 6 hours in a day, and that was it before it became, you know, all day opening on a Sunday. And the only reason my parents allowed me to work was that before I could drive, they had a staff car. So they used to take you home at the end of your shift on the Saturday or Sunday, which was bunging everyone in the back of a Vauxhall estate car and dropping everyone off around the midway towns.
Throw you out as you passed.
No, exactly. So that's sort of where it started from. So I always knew that I wanted to work with people. And I did a very, very abridged version. The cruise industry wasn't on the list, so to speak, but it was Disney. I'd worked for them. And so I actually went back to visit my very first ship a few weekends ago. The Disney Magic was in Dover. And I went on board, and it's still as if it was 20 years ago.
Oh, really?
And a good colleague of mine was the fourth officer. He's now the staff captain, so he's a number two on the ship. And he still works for the company. So he took me on board, and we had a look around. And some things have changed, but it still evokes a lot of fun memories. Sorry, I should have switched.
Excuse me, I'm on air, I'm on the radio, I can't answer the phone just now.
I thought I'd switched it off as well. Anyway, someone's phoning in, hello. So it was, that's where it sort of started from. And then I'd worked for different cruise lines, some well-known brands and some not well-known cruise brands.
You can share the names.
Can I share that? Okay. Yeah. So do you want the list?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
so
here we go. So I started working, I was with Disney Cruise Line. Then I worked for Cranfield University, then Sun Cruises, which was the forerunner of Thomson Marella Cruises.
Right.
Then I worked for Seabourn when they were the tiny little ships. And then from Seabourn, I went to work on The World, which is the world's largest private luxury residential yacht.
So
I worked for them, then I worked for another cruise line called Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Then I thought, can I do what I do on a ship in, you know, in the real world, so to speak?
On land.
So I decided to go and work in the Maldives.
As you do. Let me pick a pace to go.
And it was a challenge because on the ships I was HR manager, so responsible for all the crew, deck, engine and hotel. And to me it was, can I do what I do at sea in, you know, a land environment?
So basically, before you go on to that, so basically you worked literally from the bottom, as it were.
Yes.
Through the different roles. And
I started my career as a glass collector. By doing that, I've worked in every single department in a hotel apart from, back then it was the leisure center, which now we know nowadays is a spa and wellness facilities that you have. So I can sit down now in the role that I have, or even in the hotels, and talk to anybody and understand what a chief engineer needs, what a captain needs, what a chef needs, what a food and beverage manager needs, because I've worked in every single department. So in essence, it put me in good stead to actually be able to sit down with people and fully understand what they're talking about. And so from ships, I ended up in the Maldives. It's actually, this year is my 10th anniversary. I still have an anniversary because I'm back in the Maldives on, I would say, a regular basis. Every 6 months or so, I'm either there doing some work with some properties.
I like the way you call it work. I have to work there.
look at, and I do post a lot, and my friends sort of live their lives vicariously through me. And I do post a picture of sitting on a nice beach. But that's it. I arrive, my bag goes to my room, and I get off and go straight into a meeting with the general manager or director of operations to talk about what it is we're doing whilst I'm at the property.
Yeah.
And you go back to your room and you're literally, you try and unpack and you fall asleep, and then you start again at 6 o'clock in the morning, because you're either doing observations or assessments. So you have to be there when, you know, the staff, before they start their work in some cases.
Yeah. So you came off the ships and chose Maldives as your base.
Yeah. So I was in the
Maldives. Was it because it was like gorgeous and nice weather and You can say yes.
I think it was a very similar comparison, and people will challenge on this in the sense that if you think about a ship is a floating community. So you live, you work, you eat, you sleep, you do everything on board a ship. If you go to an island in the Maldives, the only difference between the two is the island doesn't move. On the island, it has its own generators, its powerhouse. You eat, you sleep. Your staff, in essence, sometimes live in the centre of the island, and the guests won't see it. Some resorts are lucky that they have a separate island for the staff. So in some ways, it actually, for me, was the easiest job transition I've ever done. The difference was it didn't move.
Yeah.
Although the first night we had a power cut and I woke up and grabbed the life jacket. only because now I don't mean to scare anyone, but if you're on a ship, if the air conditioning stops, you know that something's wrong.
Oh, God. That's a good point, okay?
It's one of those, it's always the first thing that has to go, because obviously of the ventilation shafts and everything else, from, you know, health, safety and all of that. In actual fact, it's a much, much bigger thing than water. Try not to scare too many people.
Let's move on. So just know, if you ever go on a cruise,
if the AC goes, then just take a deep breath and a gin and tonic and it'll be fine. So the first night I panicked because the air conditioning went. So I grabbed the life jacket, because you have to have them after, unfortunately, the tsunami. And my phone rang. I said, oh my God, what's going on? I said, oh, you know, generators just stopped. It was starting in a minute. I was just, and I couldn't go back to sleep. So that's sort of how, you know, the Maldives sort of element came into it.
How long would you say you were at sea? How many years was you cruising it?
on and off for 12 years.
Because so it's got a long time, isn't it? Obviously, I know you weren't continuously at sea for the 12 years.
No, I mean, the longest contract I ever did was 10 months, which means, in essence, 10 months with no day off. Work every single day.
Yeah.
And that was the launching of the very first ship for Disney. And we was in the Florida, we was in the shipyard, we launched the ship. And so it's, you know, working at sea is very, very different to land-based. You literally... Mm. Are on call 24/7.
But I guess you can't go, can you? You can't get away. So therefore,
everyone thinks, oh, you work on a ship. It means that you can go off. Sometimes the ship will be in port, but as a crew member, you cannot get off because your in port manning mean you're on call for safety duty. So everyone has your job, your day job or your night job, but then you also have a role to play in a safety emergency. So when the ship's in port, a certain percentage of the crew have to stay on the ship by law. So sometimes I wouldn't get off for 7 to 10 days.
Selling this profession to people.
But it's I tell you what, it's the best thing that I've done. And through that, and through working in the Maldives, and then living and working in Asia and Thailand, I've opened properties in the Maldives, the Middle East, Thailand, and have worked for various cruise lines. I got to the point that I was like, you know what? I've had enough sort of working for the big boys. So I started Shorthouse Hospitality, although in the beginning I had a different name. But a good friend of mine who's actually does all my branding and strategy, he's in Orlando actually.
Cool. Oh, well, we must meet up. Have a little bit of networking while I'm out there.
Exactly. He worked with me with Disney 20 years ago, and he, without me knowing, actually took my old company name and the name that we have now and sent it to a whole range of different people and said, which one do you think is best? And I went to visit. I actually went to my 40th year. I'm a bit older now. He actually presented to me and said, I've done this for you. So this is where Shorthouse Hospitality International came about. And as a company now, we work with companies both in the UK and also internationally. So I still get my travel. Potentially by the end of the year, I would have visited the Maldives, Thailand, and potentially done a ship visit before we get to Christmas. And it's all work. But I love it. I enjoy it. And, you know, we're working locally with Mid Kent College. We do some work with them on a monthly basis, which is very... In some ways, it's different to hospitality, but at the same time, it's not, because they provide a service to students. So we work with them to understand the services that are being provided and how they can further enhance that, you know, for their students as well at the college. Also, for a company that are based in Asia, they're opening a new project in London called Honor Tree. So we're the HR recruitment consultants for them.
Gemma's having heart attacks that you work for 10 months with no day off. She's like, that's just not legal in the UK.
Gemma, I'm in the office later. I have a coffee. Yeah. But in essence, under International Maritime Organization, ILO law, the way it works is that within a 24-hour period, you have to have a minimum of a six-hour break. And it's a rolling 24-hour period. So they have to have breaks within a certain... I'll explain it to her when I see it.
He'll explain it to you later, Jim. we haven't got time on the air.
But she is right. Years ago, it was very different. Over the last few years, you've got different Manila Convention, different events and activities have actually made the industry... It was strict, but it's far stricter now. There's a lot more legislation that make sure that a crew member's welfare and well-being is as important as the ship's safety that's, you know, sort of sailing around the world.
So give us a quick overview of what your company actually does. Because we know you travel a lot, clearly.
Yeah, everyone knows that travel.
So I don't know. And we had a meeting which lasted about 3 hours. We managed to get into the depths of what the company business does.
So in essence, Shorthouse Hospitality, we are a hospitality management company. So we provide everything from operational support, consultancy, a new resort development setup or a cruise line development setup. We do... anything. We do recruitment, but not all the time. It's only if I know you as a GM or a head of a company, I'll work with you because I know your quirks. What you tell me you want on a piece of paper isn't exactly what you want.
Yeah, or what you need.
Or what you need. Yeah. So recruitment for us isn't a mainstay. We do it if we know the, individual.
Yeah.
So for one of the companies that we've been engaged with is a company called Storylines, and they are developing a new residential ship project. So Shorthouse Hospitality has been engaged to work with them to help them develop and deliver the type of service that they want to deliver to their passengers that will sail on the ship. Another company in the Maldives, the small island company, we've done some work with them on service excellence training, and we've done some audits, although they're now we're doing the audits. So it's everything that I love to do. So I try not to keep it in to one bag, if that makes sense.
No, but it covers you know, it comes under the hospitality banner.
Exactly.
But there's with all industries, there's so many different areas that then need to be covered, the training and making sure things
and
working properly.
It's something like Mid Kent College. Everyone will say, well, that's not a hotel. Well, it isn't. However, they still have facilities and services that they provide to their students. And it's working with them to understand that student is a revenue stream. They pay money to be at the college.
Yeah.
So they have to make sure that the services that they provide meet the needs of their clients, of the students, all the way through to working with a hotel company in Vietnam in helping them to set up their HR recruitment structure. Our team is based in Florida, locally Rochester, Switzerland, and in Asia. So I've got people that I can call upon for projects as and when we sort of need them. So no 2 days is the same or different. And we work on weekends because our clients, like today for me is in essence a quiet day, because a lot of my clients are off because it's their weekend.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll be in the office because they're in the office and it's their Monday. It's a 24/7 industry. It doesn't stop.
Yeah,
you know, we have someone who works with us, used to work in the airline industry. So it's a real fun team, and we always have fun. I mean, there's always laughter in the office. Yes, we do take security seriously.
just adding that bin.
Just add that in there. I mean, you know, I was saying earlier, there's certain countries that we will visit whereby we have to make sure that we've already done our due diligence and we've made sure that we have got certain applications in place because we know we're going to a certain destination where things may or may not happen. And in some ways, you know, a lot of the work that we do is actually also working with the clients to sort of understand, you know, what it is they want to achieve ultimately. So we work with them to say, right, this is what you want to achieve. You know, how are you going to achieve it? And we'll help them go through that process. So in some ways, we could be doing something as simple as, you know, an audit on a website, right through to actually doing a full assessment audit review of a hotel operational company. So that could be from the moment... Maldives as an example. I know that it's nice and sunny. It does rain there, by the way, and it rains really badly, but it's warm. It's not cold. So in the Maldives, the moment I can land at an airport, from the moment I'm met by the airport representative is the moment I start working, because then we're assessing that process, how it works. So a lot of what Bjorn does as well is like he does all the processes. So when we go in and do an assessment, from the moment I arrive, you have to have a bit of a memory, because you get to the hotel and it may be a few hours before I see my bag, and I have to remember every interaction that I've had. Did it meet the company requirements? What was different? What worked? What didn't happen? Was the seaplane delayed? If it was delayed, was I offered X, Y, and Z? And you arrive, and, you know, I'm lucky that a lot of the people that I work with, I have known throughout my entire career. So in some ways now, it almost seems that people that I've touched, or not physically touched, but, you know, I can see she's having kisses in the arch. She'll be like, going, what? Not in that sense. Meaning I've encountered myself. So they're all coming back into my life, which in some ways is a bit... It's a bit scary because some of these people I've not known. I've known them, but we've not really connected, or we've not. Shannon, who does my branding and strategy, I've known him for 20 years. In the last year, we now work closely together, which seems really strange. I've got clients in the Maldives that we work with that I've seen them grow from being, you know, an operations manager to a hotel general manager in a period of 10 years. And they're now working with us, and, you know, we're providing services to them. We've got companies approaching us whereby they know of me or they have worked with me. So in some ways, it's almost like we've had a full circuit, full 360. A lot of people will say, oh, things don't happen for a reason. For me, in the last 12 months, I actually think it's very true, because the amount of people that we're working with, I've known for years.
Yeah.
Or a client has come to see me about a project and we sit down and talk, and I ask the question, so how did you find me? So-and-so worked with you, now works with me, and said we should talk. And that's how it's all sort of coming together.
Aligned. Yeah.
Yeah. So which is nice. So from a business perspective, it's something that I always enjoy doing. I guess, as Richard said, with security, you walk in and your first thing you're looking at is, you know, all the security things with, you know, yourself, Amanda, it would be, or what, how can we do an event in here?
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I look at it from a hospitality perspective. How was I greeted? How was the interaction? Did it work? Didn't it work? And a lot of people don't see that, but it's everywhere. If you know, I'm the person that will go to the supermarket and find the most miserable checkout person, and my aim is to have them laughing and joking by the time I leave.
Well, I like that attitude, rather than going, oh my god, you know, exactly, moaning about them. It's like, let's turn, you know, they've obviously had a bad day, let's turn around.
You don't realize that no one may have spoken to them for their entire shift,
and
that may be why. So it's, you know, when over years you sort of pick up these different traits and how to deal and how to work with different people. So for me, it's from a cultural perspective, it's like a bowl of fruit salad. It's just, it all mixes together, but it all comes together at the end.
I love it. Well, so, we have now, unfortunately, run out of time.
I knew that was going to
happen. No, it's fine. We could talk for you for hours.
I know.
But I run out of time. So give us a quick shout out about how people can find you, website.
So website, okay, so Shorthouse Hospitality, we're actually based at the St. George Hotel at the Dragon Co-working, and they can find us at shorthousehospitality.com. My Twitter is SHI_hospitality. Yes, I remember.
Yes, we've got one of those complicated ones.
I know, it's bizarre. And then on LinkedIn, it's Shorthouse Hospitality, or my name, Neil Shorthouse. Our office number is 01634566592.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
I did try to keep it.
No, it was brilliant. It was good. We got the information,
Rich,
and it's
like
great. And we know that was just like a percentage of all the stories, so it's fantastic. Now what I'm going to do is get your pens and paper out, because there are lots of events coming up. We're going to write down, not you, Neil, all the listeners. We've got some events coming up over the next couple of weeks, and we want to make sure you don't miss out on them. So on Tuesday the 25th, next Tuesday, at September 11:15 to 2:30 p.m. it's the Kent Women in Business Lunch at Bradbourne House in East Morlin. That is, go to businesseventsuk.com website, the Kent Women in Business Lunch. Great networking opportunity with two great speakers, Kim Arnold and Gillian Perry. Next week on Wednesday the 26th, in the evening from 6 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. at the Metro Bank in Maidstone with the Business Doctors, and the FS, Peter Sell is running the FSB Connect. Go along to that. That'll be a fun evening. If you go to businessdoctors.co.uk, you can book on there. Next Thursday, we have the Networkers Networking event at Brands Hatch Place from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's going to be another fantastic day. We've got loads of people booked on. So much networking is going to happen. We've got Paul Andrews, Brian Wakefield and Ben Abbott as our speakers. If you go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE and book on for that. We have got, oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. On the 10th of October, Working Well, Your Strategy for a Healthy Business with the Bradley Group and Ruby Wax. Yes, the Ruby Wax. It's going to be a fantastic event all about well-being in the workplace. If you go to thebradleygroup.co.uk, you can find out more there. There are so many more events going on. Keep up to date, stay with us, and we'll be covering those over the next couple of weeks. And put the 19th of October in your diary for the Chimps and Tricks charity event. That's it. We've got to end the show. We've got to go off air. So thank you so much for Richard for sharing with us again today, the security tips. Thank you so much, Neil, for being with us. We will be back next week. And I have got Jan, who is from the Bradley Group, and also who's co-hosting. Oh, Molly. Molly's back. We're going to be hearing all about Molly's travels. Have a great weekend, everybody, and see you next week.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.